The DA is planning a cohesive response to the Administrative Adjudication of Road Traffic Offences Act, also known as ARTU, now that it is in a position of power in three of the major Gauteng metropolitan municipalities. Now, Cape Town's DA-controlled Municipal Council and the Western Cape government have consistently opposed the rollout of a new system for managing traffic fines in South Africa. Some of the provisions of the ARTU, obviously, is to, traffic offences. Is a demerit system, and if you accumulate 15 points on your driving license, it's suspended. Your license may be suspended twice before it is actually cancelled. Now, the organization Undoing Tax Abuse, ARTU, has brought a legal challenge against the implementation of ARTU and hearings for the case kicked off in October. We chat this morning to Stephanie Fick from ARTU. Stephanie, a very good morning to you. You are the Executive Director of the Accountability Division at ARTU. Chat to us about this challenge, your legal challenge against ARTU.
Good morning. It is actually a very, in legal speak, let me say a very interesting challenge. But let me try and break it down, because, you know, if you start talking constitutional challenge, you know, you may lose people. So, firstly, what we are saying, if you look at ARTU that was rolled out in Gauteng, so this is what we were faced with. It was a complete failure. This has been running since, for nearly 10 years, and they weren't really able to administratively deal with ARTU. And then the new ARTU amendment bill came out, and they want to roll this out nationwide. So from a practical level, we realize that if they weren't able to administratively deal with this in Gauteng, how will they deal with it nationwide? But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's unconstitutional. The administrative process is not necessarily unconstitutional. However, then you realize what this legislation is trying to do is, from a national level, in other words, national government, is telling provincial governments and local governments what to do. So let's take a step back. ARTU is supposed to deal with your minor offences. In other words, it's not about drunk driving. It is not about your speedsters and all of that. It is supposed to deal with your minor offences, which one example is parking offences. And these are the type of offences, in terms of our constitution, that a local government should decide on. And ARTU took that totally away from local government. So I'm going to try and get an example. For example, let's say you are in Cape Town. There are certain instances or certain places where the local government may say, but listen, parking here is dangerous. It can lead to certain things. So what we want to do is, we want to firstly up the fines. We want to deal with it a certain way. Now, ARTU takes that away from local government, because it is the RTIA that will decide about their presentations, and then an appeal tribunal, if you look at the new act, if you are unhappy with the decision. So in a nutshell, that's one part, and the second part is obviously the service. That we say that because of the serious consequences, because you can lose your license can be suspended, that by sending you an SMS or an email is not sufficient in order to let someone know, listen, there are points against your name, you need to do something about it.
People change their phones regularly, first of all, and sometimes you lose data on your phone, you lose information on your phone, you lose messages on your phone. So sending you an SMS or sending you a WhatsApp message, that's probably not the best way. So what is the best way of notifying people of their fines?
Well, what the current act is saying, the one that's only applicable in Gauteng, is how is a legal process normally served? In person? So, the sheriff comes to your doorstep, or it leaves it with someone older than 16, or it attaches it to your building, or you get it via registered post. And now our postal service is also not up to snuff. But if you take the fact that we haven't been working on getting, for example, our postal service up to speed, now you want to send messages that has serious consequences via, like you say, SMS. I think a cell phone is one of those commodities in South Africa that gets stolen every second. Every day there's robberies and get stolen. And did we do the research to find out how many people actually got access to emails? And then also one of the problems is, to what extent, when they will send this email or whatever the case may be, will they make it or mark it in some way so that your computer doesn't consider it a spam or whatever? Now, they make a big point of the fact that you can choose how to get your notifications. However, the Act is very specific. The issuing authority, RTIA, can choose how they serve it. So although you may say, okay, I want personal service, they can choose that, okay, they're not going to do that because that's where the problems came in Gauteng. They're going to send you an SMS.
Chatting this morning to Stephanie Fick, and she's from ALTA, the Executive Director of Accountability Division at ALTA. And ALTA is challenging the constitutional validity of two R2 laws and will call on the court to declare both the main act as well as the Amendment Act unconstitutional. What are you hoping to achieve with this? Is it a separation of the sort of minor fines from the more serious fines, like speeding at 160 kilometers an hour, overtaking on barrier lines? What are the serious offenses? Because 10 years for something to actually be implemented is a long time. And the fact that it's not been implemented, Stephanie, is the fact that there are just so many loopholes and there are just so many holes that have been shot into this act. And every time we have a new national minister, the thing gets revived, and we start beating a dead dog all from the beginning.
Yes, what they try to do is we've got the National Road Traffic Act, which makes certain things, and other acts that make certain things a crime. So when you drive drunk, you can get arrested, you go to jail, you appear in court, and if you're found guilty, you can be sentenced to prison. So that is sort of the criminal justice system that that is applicable. What they try to do with ART is to say, let's make this an administrative process. In other words, you don't go to court, you can pay your fine, you can make representations if you're unhappy and all of that. And if you don't pay your fine and you don't make representations or pay it or whatever, then there's this enforcement order and you can use your license. So I think the initial ART to act was your minor offences, your traffic offences and so forth, and trying to not go the criminal route. But obviously you still had the decision to go to court. Then I realized, when we went to Parliament, one of the reasons why they are saying, the reasons for the Amendment Act is that a lot of these cases will go to court, but there's not enough people to deal with this. So instead of fixing that problem, they said, but now we're going totally administrative. So the Amendment Act is totally administrative. And the first time you can go to court is when you go through a whole process. And if you're then unhappy with the appeals tribunal's decision, then only you can go on an appeal sort of review basis to court. So, but the main, I just want to say this because I want people to understand, we are all passionate about, curbing road deaths. We want safety on our roads. And I think one of the reasons why we made this decision to go and take this to court to say that this is unconstitutional is that we do believe that this will not curb road deaths. I think if you look at the statistics, it hasn't made a huge impact in Gauteng. And funny enough, and I have to make this proviso, this was not in-depth research considering all the numbers, but just looking, prima facie at what was available. The one year that there was a difference in Gauteng was the year when the World Cup was here. And why? Because there were more visible policing. So why not spend energy on getting more people to make sure, that people that transgress law, not just the minor offences, all the major offences, let's get the drunk drivers behind bars, and you'll need more visible policing for that.
I've been an advocate of visible policing for many years, and practically for all my years in traffic, because I do believe that, you know, we need to start with the first part of it all is that we need to start at schools, where we need to start teaching people better driving habits, and we need to start showing them these sort of results of when you are not driving correctly on the road.
Yeah.
But then also we need a deterrent, Stephanie. So somehow or other, why is it that something similar like this works, for instance, in other countries where there is a demerit system, and it has taken 10 years for this to sort of get off the ground, and it's still not off the ground?
Yeah, I think part of it is just the inability administratively to deal with it. Although it's always good to go look outside, you know, what is the international standard? Because, you know, as South Africans, I think we strive to be, you know, the best South Africa we can be, obviously. But sometimes looking at international trends is just not working in our environment. I'm going to take the taxis, for example, because that's now in some people's minds, that's a sore issue because, you know, a lot of the fatalities happens in taxis. And, you know, sometimes I think people take their lives into their own hands when they put their foot in a taxi. But then on the other hand, why isn't there better public transport? You know, for people to use safe public transport. But to come back to taxis, you know, although I would agree that sometimes you can pull your hair out, the taxis that are driving in, why aren't they stopped in order to make sure that the taxi is in a good condition before they take so many lives into their own hands? You know, they stop where they want to. But just a simple thing. Their salaries are not regulated. Some of these taxi drivers earn pittance. And the taxi owners, I don't know where the problem is necessarily. It's not, I can't speak on behalf of the taxi drivers. But I listened to one day, and he said, you know, they take away, the amount was scary. It's not regulated. So, you know, look at something like that. Look at, I know in Gauteng, I don't necessarily know if that is a problem in Cape Town. They stop where they want. It's because they've asked government so many times to make provision for them to stop and not stop in the middle of the road. So although, you know, this is a big problem, why are they trying to solve something
that's
specific?
The problem, once again, with the taxi industry is that, first of all, government is very scared of the taxi industry, plain and simply because of its mere power, its sheer power. The government in itself depends on the taxi industry for a lot. So instead of solving the public transport problem, they just depend on the taxis and they offload it onto the taxi. But the thing is, you know, R2, for instance, is a measure in which a person will receive demerits, and those demerits that you will receive will then deter you, hopefully, from actually contravening the law again. It will deter you from actually breaking the law again, and it'll say to you, oh, I've only got 12 points left, or I've got 11 points left, or I've got 9 points left. My daughters in New Zealand, for instance, do not allow me to drive their cars because they know once they go onto a demerit system, it doesn't only affect their point system that they've got, but it actually affects the fact that when they go for an interview for a job, that comes up on their job application. Yes. So how do we then, without R2, create better drivers on the road and bring the death toll down?
It's by looking at our specific situation, like the problem with taxis. I don't know if New Zealand has got the same problem. But yes, that's why we are saying, you have referred to the fact, what about training in schools? You know, what about making sure that people want to abide by road traffic, you know, the rules? You know, why don't we make sure that from a very young age, in their own language, people are taught, but you want to, if you drive, be a responsible driver. That's point number one. But If you want an administrative system to work, and you want to say that a demerit system is going to curb, for example, road deaths because, people will be scared of it, then you need to make sure that your administrative system is in order. And I think we also fail in that sense because, if you don't get your notices, let's say you are a law-abiding citizen and I parked in the wrong spot for whatever reason and I received the ticket, I may pay for it. But I don't want to, in 6 or a year's time when I renew my license, find out I've got an enforcement order because I never received my my notification. Mm. That is unfair.
Chatting this afternoon to Stephanie Fix, she's the Executive Director of Accountability Division at Outer. They are heading into court with a challenge, and it is a constitutional validity. They're challenging the constitutional validity of two of the R2 laws. Is R2, just very quickly, Stephanie, is R2 in itself the actual system, the actual demerit system? And we're not talking about the administrative system because, we can knock the administrative system as much as we want to. Is R2 itself a bad idea?
I think on paper, no. But then I want to answer it this way. What is wrong with the criminal justice system? Because we are not saying there should be no consequences. We are just saying we have a system where there's consequences. People, by getting a fine through the criminal justice system, if that is not a deterrent, if you run the risk of going to jail because of whatever, even if it's just a minor offense, so we need to be careful. On paper, I have to agree, it sounds lovely. If we can make sure, if we can, if we can create responsible motorists, of course.
Stephanie Fook chatting to us this morning, and she's from Outer. She's the Executive Director of Accountability Division on Outer. If you would like to chat to us about the R2 Act, whether you feel it's a good idea, whether you feel it's a bad idea, give us a call on 021-446-0567. I kind of think we're stuck here in a situation whereby, the guy who speeds, let me give you this example, this analogy of a guy who speeds. He's speeding. He's speeding along the R27, going past Milnerton Flea Market, and all of a sudden there's a camera. So the camera is standing along the road, and the traffic officer is parked a couple of meters away from that particular camera. And now he phones me and tells me, why is it that the officer is hiding there? Why is it the officer is sitting so far away from the camera? Shouldn't he be sitting behind the camera? Should he not be doing this and that and the other? And my question is, why are you speeding? You should not be speeding. It's a big board up there that says 60 kilometers an hour and you should not be speeding. So I think R2 is a brilliant idea. I think that we can definitely have a look and sort of tighten up more on the administrative side of R2. And I think after 10 years, it's time to get moving.